Good morning, dear colleagues. As you see, there is a change in the chair. I am supposed to be the acting chair of this meeting for a, as you know, for a very, very sad reason. Our real chair, Professor Kanzer, passed away unexpectedly 2nd April this year. You know that we expressed our condolence. The Joyner Program Advisory Committee for Condensed Matter Physics expressed that it deeply regrets the passing of Professor Valeriu Kanzer, member of the Moldavian Academy of Sciences. Professor Kanzer, being a chairman of this Program Advisory Committee since 28, he was a distinguished personality who left behind ineffectible traces in the JNR science policy, and especially in our committee. All of us knew him as an exceptional scholar and organizer who deserved the profound and abiding respect both of young students and major specialists. His high efficiency and exactingness, along with his responsiveness, benevolence, and openness, were examples of Professor Kanzer's high professionalism and humanity. The memory of an exceptional personality, outstanding scientist, and wise mentor will always live in our heart. May I ask you to stand and observe a minute of silence? Thank you very much. Now, let's continue with business as usual by enumerating the members and guests of our PAC meeting. In alphabetic order, I will read your names. Professor Alexeyev is present. Professor Avramov, also present, yeah. Professor Dumnichkova, Professor Fuss, Professor Hal Wilton, whom I in principle should introduce, but nevertheless he was already an invited guest of our last PAC meeting, so I don't think it's really necessary to introduce him. He comes from ESS, Lund. Professor Kardilyov excused himself, also Professor Kuzmin. Professor Perring is here. Professor Saladino is also absent, excused himself. Professor Sanga and Professor Vasitsky excused himself as well. As ex-official members of our PAC, Professor Adam is here. Professor Appel is, well, probably he will come. Dr. Belov is a scientific secretary of the PAC. Professor Belyushkin, he will certainly come. Professor Hnatic, Professor Itkis, and Professor Krasavin, I still can't see him, but he will definitely show up. As you see, there is a little change in the representation of the directorate, and I wonder whether I have to introduce Professor Sharkov, Boris Sharkov, who has been very, very well known from FAIR. He was, I don't know the exact terms, I think scientific managing director or something like that. Sounds like, so it means basically director general of FAIR for 7 years, I guess. Okay, and there is also a change in the role of the chief scientific secretary. Professor Sorin is the new chief scientific secretary of JNR and will be part of our meeting. So I think that's all for the... Oh, I am very sorry. I'm very sorry. Okay, Richard is, of course, also present. Yeah, okay. I just forgotten to look to the left-hand side. Anyway, okay. So then I think we may continue with the program of our PAC meeting. First of all, I would like, this is the agenda, you all have received it. I wonder whether there is some comment on it, or can I take it as accepted? I don't see any objections, so I think the agenda is approved. And I am afraid, and it's immediately my turn with the first presentation, which is, as usual, the report on the last PAC meeting. I will try to do my best to keep on time because we will have a very tough program. That's why we started this time at 9 o'clock, and I also would like to ask all contributors of the PAC meeting to do so. Anyway, okay, you have just seen the present agenda. This was the agenda of our last meeting. You can hardly read it, but of course you all know it. Of course, it's impossible to report on all the details, so three highlights should be emphasized from our last meeting. First, the development of a concept for the GINAR's new neutron source, and I'm pretty sure it will be a very important agenda also of the present meeting. Secondly, as always, a report on the IBR2 scientific and technological issues for 16, and again a routine task of our committee. This is in some respect the main task, reports on themes and projects. So let me start with the development of a concept for the GINAR's new neutron source. And as you remember, Viktor Lazarevich Aksionov presented 15-year forward look at neutron facilities at GINAR. So he intended to present both scientific case. Oh yeah, what's for that? Okay. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Both a scientific case and also a landscape of neutron facilities. And he discussed research program, world neutron landscape, and concepts for a future facility. I don't think it's necessary, again, to read all the details. He emphasized not only, and in some respect, not even in the first line, the material science applications, but contribution to general physics, and also some topics beyond general physics. This is the landscape, or this was the landscape of neutron centers in Europe 2 years ago. Nowadays, it has already been changed. Two of those sources are already missing, and this is how the world, the neutron world, should like in 2032. As you see, there will be expectedly two very strong sources, ESS in Lund and PIC in Gaccina, and three further ones, ISIS in the United Kingdom, the Garching reactor in Germany, and the Swiss neutron source. That's more or less all. So it's, of course, very timely to act and to think how to have more neutron sources, and this is just a glance of the PIC project. The main point is that the energy startup is expected one and a half years' time, and the first 12 experimental stations are expected to start working a year later. Definitely, that will be a very important date, because once it will be realized, one may be able to guess which role actually peak will play in the European and neutron source landscape, and especially in the neutron landscape of this region. ESS is again very well known. The first neutrons are expected to appear in 19. However, the first experiments are not expected to be performed before 23. So it's quite a long time until then. What are the possible concepts of a new neutron source? What has been discussed, these were basically three models. One is the pulsed neptunium reactor, Neptune, which can most probably be only realized here in Russia for obvious reasons, because neptunium can hardly be used, for example, in the European Union. The other concept was the cascade booster Razmnožitel, who means in English multiplier. Again, no time to for going into details. The question, if it will be realized, what should be the main accelerator of this machine? Either it could be NICA itself, nucleotron plus a booster, or alternatively a new linear accelerator. The third version is the neutron source for fourth generation called DNS4, and this figure shows a comparison of its capabilities as compared to other sources. You see that in the brightness, there could be a major advantage if this source would be realized. But it is definitely premature right now to make further comment. I'm pretty sure that it will be a very long process and a very hard time, both for our committee and also for the strategic committee of GINR, to make the final decision in the next few years. But the decision should be taken within a couple of years, by something like 2020, the latest. So, since the construction of a neutron source takes significant time, the PAC finds it timely to consider a proposal for a new facility at the moment. That was our conclusion last time. And at the same time, the PAC notes the urgency of addressing a number of issues, like mobilizing a large scientific community, considering complementary and competitiveness with other neutron sources, clarifying ideas on the instruments and novel technologies, and last but not least, identifying the relevant user community, both at GINR and outside. So these were our two recommendations in this issue. First, the PAC believes that a comprehensive analysis of approaches to the idea of constructing a new neutron source at GINR in place of the IBL2 reactor after the completion of its operation after 2032 is an important and urgent task, and recommends that the FLNP directorate starts preparation of a proposal for considering the development of a new neutron facility to be presented at the next meeting of this PAC. And secondly, the PAC also recommended that a proposal for the development of a new neutron facility be submitted to the Committee for Long-Term Strategy Planning being currently established at GINR. I think this is a point that we should discuss in detail both today and maybe most importantly tomorrow at the general discussion. The second main issue was the IBR Scientific and Technological Review for 16 presented by Denis Kozlenko. The priority directions of scientific research are enumerated here, as always: physics and chemistry of novel functional materials, physics of nanosystems and nanoscale phenomena, physics and chemistry of complex liquids and polymers, molecular biology and pharmacology, and material science, materials and engineering sciences. These graphs show the distribution of the proposals
at the IBR two instruments, according to the subject, you see that there was a clear decrease in the physics proposals. There was a clear increase in the geoscience and material science proposals, the others being more or less at the same level. The participating number of participating countries was more or less stable. The scientific article outcome of the IBR2 spectrometers, again, you hardly can see the details. Most probably, the most frequently used instruments were UMO and DN12. The recommendation on this issue of our committee. I'm sorry. Anyway, okay, this is already the next part. Which is the recommendations on themes and projects, so the third issue that is highlighted from the program of the last PAC. There was a project by Professor Adam, presented by Professor Adam, methods, algorithms, and software for modeling physical systems, mathematical processing, and analysis of experimental data. These are examples of the applications of this proposal. For example, the automation of online data storage on modernized UMO spectrometer, six-order BM data smoothing for IBR 2 applications, and real-time visualization and analysis of neutron diffraction data. The specific tasks of this theme are listed here: mathematical and computation methods for simulation of complex physical systems, software complexes and mathematical methods for processing and analysis of experimental data, numerical methods, algorithms, and software computationally adapted to multi-core and hybrid architectures, methods, algorithms, and software of the computer algebra. The recommendation of the PAC was that recommend the extension of the theme for 3 years until the end of 2019. Professor Pakuljak presented a report on the theme organization support and development of the GINR educational program. You know that that is one of the key issues of GINR, and it really plays a very, very important role both in the so to say core countries of GINR and also in countries that are only associated members like Italy. Nevertheless, PhD students were part of this educational program, and it was a very positive development. The project development of modern educational programs was concluded, and a new project development of an open educational environment to support research priorities in nuclear physics was also presented, with the recommendation of our PAC that following the successful implementation of the concluding project, the PAC recommends its closure and opening a new project renamed as Development of an Open Educational Environment to Support Research Priorities in Material Sciences and Structure of Matter. As concerning scientific meetings, schools, and training courses, four have been mentioned at our last PAC meeting. You can read them on the screen. And the scientific reports presented at our last PAC meetings were presented by Professor Zilmyanaya, Goremchikin, and Timoshenko. There were, as always, poster presentations by young scientists, Last time it was 16, and as a best poster was selected the simulation of radiation damage to different neuronal structures with GN4 DNA toolkit by Dr. Archimeg. The PhD also noted two other high quality posters listed here on the screen. As a result of the general discussion, the PhD emphasized the necessity to have a pool of external experts to evaluate themes and projects in related fields that are not directly focused on condensed matter physics issues but addressed to this PhD. The PhD also discussed the possibility of inclusion of its one or two members in the Committee for Long-Term Strategy Planning being currently established at the Institute. That's again an important point that we should come back at in the general discussion of this meeting the latest. The PAC endorsed the final draft of the regulation for the GINAR program advisory committees to be approved at the next session of the Scientific Council in February 2017. That already happened, of course. The PAC also discussed the guidelines for the preparation of projects and themes and their evaluation by the PACs. It was noted that the general items of these guidelines were also accepted by two other PACs for particle physics and nuclear physics. And that was our recommendation for the next meeting. That means for the present meeting, I don't think it makes a sense to read it. We are just here, so it remains only to thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Danish, any question, please? Comments? No? Thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman,
as you see, our next issue is, as usual, the information on the resolution of the 121st session of the GINAR Scientific Council in February 17 and on the decisions of the GINAR Committee of Plenipotentiaries in March 17, and it will be presented by Professor Itki. So, please, Mikhail.
Thank you. The 121st sessions of Scientific Council took place in February of this year. It was chaired by director of our institute, Viktor Matveev, and co-chaired by Professor Mikhail Waligurski from Krakow, Poland. The agenda of this meeting, the report of director, result of implementation of 7-year plan for the development of our institute for 2010-2016 and plan for 2017-2023 presented by Vice Director Richard Lednitsky and by me. A recommendation of program advisory committees presented by Iskak Tseruya, Marek Levitovich, and Oleg Belov. Membership of program advisory committees presented by me. Report by young scientists as recommended by program advisory committees Sidorov, Gridin, Rachkov, Berch, Mik. Proposed amendments to the regulation for our program advisory committee presented by Nikolai Rusakovich, scientific report status of FAIR project at the end of 2016 and prospect for the FAIR Joint Institute for Nuclear Research Cooperation presented by Boris Sharkov, election of the director of Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics and announcement of vacancies of position in the directorate of our laboratories, awards and prizes. The Scientific Council took note of the comprehensive report presented by Director Viktor Matveyevich concerned the decision taken at the session of Committee Plenipotentiaries in November 2016, the scientific results produced in 2016, and the major event in activities of our institute in its international cooperation. The Scientific Council appreciated the approval by Committee of Plenipotentiaries of the 7-year plan for development of Institute for 2017-2023, which will determine the strategy of our institute in the coming period and which will be updated on the yearly earlier basis with the actual financial situation taken into account. The Scientific Council was pleased to note the establishment of Supervisory Board of NICA Project, which is an important step taken after the recent signing of the agreement between the government of Russian Federation and Joint Institute on the construction and exploitation of the NICA complex of superconducting rings for heavy ion colliding beams. The Scientific Council congratulated our Directorate for successful realization of the idea of all Russia open lessons of the NICA project on the February this year and suggested its wider distribution. The Scientific Council recognized the significant progress in implementing the priority project within the Joint Institute Scientific Program and the high quality organizational work being done by the our Directorate. The Scientific Council highly congratulated the Institute for approval by UPAC of the names of new super heavy element, moscovium, tennessine, and agonison, synthesized at Fleurov Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions. The Scientific Council supported the development of a long range strategy for our institute beyond the approved 7-year plan, at least up to the year 2030. The Scientific Council highly appreciates the result of implementation of previous 7-year plan for development of our institute 2010-2016 and the plan for activities for 2017 and 2023 in the field of particle physics and high energy heavy ion physics and information technology presented by Vice Director Richard Lednitsky, and in the field of low and intermediate energy nuclear physics with neutron, and condensed matter physics presented by Vice Director Itkis. The Scientific Council concurred with the recommendation on issues of particle physics, nuclear physics, and condensed matter physics taken by the Program Advisory Committees at the session in January 2017, as reported by Professor Tseruya, Levitovich, and Belov. The Scientific Council proposed that our Directorate should take into account this recommendation in preparing the our topical plan of research and international cooperation for next year, 2018. Membership of Program Advisory Committee. As proposed by our Directorate, the Scientific Council appointed Marek Levitovich from GANIL Cannes, France, as chairperson for Program Advisory Committee for Nuclear Physics for a term of 3 years. The Scientific Council also appointed Hall Wilton, he is here, from Lund, as new member of Program Advisory Committee for Condensed Matter Physics for a term of 3 years. The Scientific Council thanks the outgoing member Chikuchi from CERN Geneva for his successful work as a member of Program Advisory Committee for Particle Physics. The Scientific Council appreciated the following reports by young scientists which were selected by Program Advisory Committees for presentation at this session: multimedia educational resources, germanium-like states at COMPASS, fusion reaction with light neutron rich nuclei, a pathway for to synthesis new heavy nuclei, a simulation of radiation damage to different neuronal structure with GIANT-4 DNA toolkit TPC, MPD NICA readout electronics. Scientific reports by young scientists the scientific council sent the respective speakers Sidorov, Grigin, Rachkov, Berchin, and welcomed similar report in the future. The Scientific Council highly appreciated the report status of FAIR project at the end of 2016 and prospect for FAIR Joint Institute for Nuclear Research Cooperation and sent the Deputy Director of our Institute, Boris Sharkov, for his informative presentation. Based on the reported FAIR time schedule, the Scientific Council emphasized the need for timely and successful completion of the NICA project with a broad international cooperation. This will enable complementary among the projects. Concerning the regulation for Program Advisory Committee, Scientific Council took note of the amendments to the regulation for our Program Advisory Committees proposed for consideration by Chief Scientific Secretary Nikolai Rusakovich. The updated version of the regulation provides the extended description of the Program Advisory Committee function, enabling the Program Advisory Committee to establish the operating procedure and develop specific methods of the evaluation of projects. The revised regulation also encourages the Program Advisory Committee to appoint one or two of its members to perform continuous monitoring of specific projects, allows the Program Advisory Committee members to carry out the evaluation of project by means of electronic communication and includes a number of minor corrections suggested by our directorate and program advisory committees. The Scientific Council approved the amended text of this document. I must to thank on behalf of our directorate the program advisory committee of condensed matter physics, because we was were very actively in preparing of regulation for program advisory committees. The Scientific Council congratulates Professor Friedrich Didek from Austria on the award of the Diploma Honorary Doctor of our Institute in recognition of his outstanding contribution to advancement of science and education of young scientists. The Scientific Council congratulated Professor Julian Budagov from our Institute on the award of the Zhilepov Prize for development and construction of unique laser metrology system for measuring the angular oscillation of Earth's surface. The Scientific Council approved the jury's recommendation on the award of the Pontecorvo Prize to a group of authors, including Professor Wong from Beijing, China, Professor Soobong Kim from Seoul National University, South Korea, and Professor Kochiro Nishigawa from Keck, Japan, for their outstanding contribution to the study of neutrino oscillation phenomena and to the measurement of the Q31 mixing angle in the Dia Bay experiment, Reno, and T2K experiment. The Scientific Council approved the jury's recommendation on the award of Gene Annual Prizes for the best papers in the field of scientific research, instruments, methods, and applied research. The election of the director of Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics took place at this session. Since none of the candidates obtained the required majority of votes, the Scientific Council announced a new election for this position to be held at the next session in September of this year. Scientific Council announced the vacancies of position of the Director of Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics and of the Director of Laboratory of Information Technologies. The election for this position will take place at the 123rd session of the Scientific Council in February 2018. A regular session of Committee of Plenipotentiaries of the Government of our Institute was held on 27-28 March this year. It was chaired by the Plenipotentiary of Republic of Bulgaria, Professor Lucizar Kostov. The agenda of this session, the result of our activities in 2016, recommendation previous session of our Scientific Council, presented by Director Viktor Matveyev, execution of our budget in 2016, presented by Sergei Dotsenko, implementation of 7-year plan for development of our institute in previous 7-year plan, presented by Nikolai Rusakovich, results of meeting of our finance committee held on 24-25 March, presented by Arsen Khvedelidze, proposal of finance committee for selection of the company for auditing the financial activities of institute for the year 2016, presented by Arsen Khvedelidze, endorsement of appointment of the vice director, the chief scientific secretary, and the chief engineer of our institute, presented by Matveyev, by election to the membership of scientific council, presented by Nikolai Rusakovich, and scientific report, new arrivals from Stability Island of super heavy element, presented by Yuri Aganisyan. Committee of Plenipotentiary took note of the recommendation of the previous session of the our Scientific Council, as well as the information presented by our Directorate on the implementation of a plan for research and international cooperation in 2016 and on the plans for activities in this year. The Committee of Plenipotentiary recognized the significant progress in implementing the priority project of our scientific program, in particular, the progress in the civil construction work of NICA Collider building, the successful commission of the linear accelerator of Hevia and Hilak, the official start of the assembly and testing line for superconducting magnets, the active effort towards the preparation of technical design reports and mass production of MPD detector elements. Approval by EUPAC of the names of new super heavy element Moscovium, Tenesin, and Aganison at Fleurov laboratory, as good progress of the installation of DC-280 cyclotron with its major technological system in the building and the construction of the factory of super heavy elements, the high quality scientific results obtained at the spectrometers of IBR2 research facility, and the progress of implementation of the user program at the Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics and its further development. The new result achieved in the field of information technology and the achievement in the development of our educational program. Committee of Plenipotentiary expressed concern about the tendency in recent years toward an annual reduction in the level of actual revenues of the our budget, which jeopardizes the implementation of institute scientific program. It appealed to plenipotentiaries of member states to take measures for the timely payment of contribution in full as prescribed by charter and the financial protocol. It's connected with the previous 2016, some our member state contribute his money only at the end of year, in full scale, but only in the end of year. The Committee of Plenipotentiary took note of the information about the major scientific results obtained in implementing the 7-year plan for development of our institute in 2010-2016 and about its financial support. The Committee Plenipotentiary recognized that the objectives of the 7-year plan in the area of major facilities had been achieved by Institute, in particular, the stable operation of modernized IBR2 reactor and the increased number of spectrometers now available for experiments at this facility. The ongoing construction of factory of super heavy element with expectation to put into operation in 2017. The recent signature of important contracts which provide timely realization of NICA project. The commission of Dubna cluster of the Baikal GVD facility, the startup of CMS Tier 1 Center. The Committee of Plenipotentiary notes the balanced execution of the budget in 2016 in condition of incomplete and unstable receipt of budget revenues. The Committee of Plenipotentiary resolve to continue improving the procurement activities of our institute, which should facilitate efficient work and timely fulfillment of obligation for this implementation of project. Committee Plenipotentiary discussed the situation with industrial return to member states in 2016. It commissioned our directorate to continue work towards securing the right of industrial return for each member state in the amount at least 20% of its contribution on the basis of our competitive procedures. The Committee of Plenipotentiaries approved the protocol of meeting of the Finance Committee, which took place in the end of March. The Committee of Plenipotentiaries appealed to the plenipotentiaries of government of our member states, which have debts in the payment of contribution to our budget, to take urgent measures for their repayment and in future to ensure the timely delivery of contributions. The Committee Plenipotentiaries suspended beginning in 2017 the increase of areas of Ukraine in the payment of its contribution to our budget due to force majeure and deferred the consideration of the issue of Ukraine's areas in the payment of its contribution to the budget of, to the session of the Committee Plenipotentiary in March 2018. The Committee Plenipotentiary asked the chairman of Committee Plenipotentiary to address the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Ukraine with request to ensure the participation of Ukraine's official representative in the meeting of the Finance Committee and the Committee of Plenipotentiaries. The Committee Plenipotentiaries set up a working group of representatives of several member states of our institute and Joint Directorate to develop proposal for the redemption of Ukraine areas in the payment of its contribution to our budget. Such delegation will visit to Kyiv at the middle of July. As proposed by Finance Committee, the Committee of Plenipotentiary approved the company Korsakov & Partners from Moscow, a joint auditor, and authorized it to conduct the audit of the Institute financial activities for the year 2016. Based on the result of select ballot, the Committee of Plenipotentiary endorsed the appointment of Alexander Sorin as the Chief Scientific Secretary of our Institute and Boris Gikal as the Chief Engineer of our institute until the completion of the term of office Joint Directorate Matveev on the January 2022. Based on the result of open vote, Committee of Plenipotentiary postponed the appointment new candidate for position of three vice director of Joint until the session of Committee of Plenipotentiary in March 2018. Allow the director to extend the term of office vice director Richard Lednitsky until the end of March and to grant the right to extend the powers of assigned temporary duties of our vice directors, including to other person, until the official approval by the Committee of Plenipotentiaries. In accordance with the charter of our institute, the Committee of Plenipotentiary allowed the Joint Directorate to introduce the position of fourth vice director of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. The Committee Plenipotentiary commissioned the director to send the material on this position to the plenipotentiaries of the member states, substantiating the goals, tasks, duties, and requirements for the candidates for the subsequent endorsement of the appointed as vice director of the candidates nominated by the member states at the session of Committee Plenipotentiaries in March next year. The Committee of Plenipotentiaries thanks our Chief Scientific Secretary Nikolai Rusakovich and Chief Engineer Grigory Shirkov the many years of their successful work as a member of our Directorate for their contributions to the results achieved by the Institute and to the development of international scientific cooperation. The Committee of Plenipotentiary elected Professor Li Yanggang, Institute of Plasma Physics of China Academy of Science, from Hefei, as new member of our Scientific Council. Committee of Plenipotentiary highly appreciates the report, a new arrival from the Stability Island of Superheavy Element, presented by Yuri Aganisyan, scientific leader of Fluorov Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Professor Itkis. The presentation is now open for questions and discussions. No questions at all. I can hardly raise a question by myself because I'm a member of the Scientific Council, so I know it, but still. If this is not the case, then thank you once again, Professor Itkis. And let us proceed to the next presentation, which will be given by Professor Vinogradov, work plan for the development of a concept for the GINR's new neutron center. Two presentations will be followed after each other on closely related subject. That's why I would suggest that after this presentation, you only put questions and the overall discussion should be together with Professor Kucherka's presentation. So thank you very much. Please, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dear colleagues, let me introduce you our plan of work on the development of a new neutron source at our institute. But first of all, let me to tell you about IBR2 results during for the first half year of this year. As you see, this slide reactor has worked during five rounds for physical experiments. For this operating time, there are no essential remarks to work of the reactor equipment. And I should say the facility has worked without emergency shutdowns. During second and fourth rounds of the reactor was used cryogenic moderator for physical experiments. Nowadays, the reactor is stopped for routine summer repair, and in accordance with our plan, will resume its operation for physical experiments on September 25th. Now, let's come back to the main topic of the report. One of the tasks of the seven-year plan for the development of the institute for the period until 2023 is to develop a concept of creation and use of a new neutron source after reaching the end of service life and the basic technological equipment and nuclear fuel at the IBR2 facility. Let me remind you that IBR2 service life for the reactor and vessel for burn-up depths of fuel assemblies is rated up to 2042. A substantiated concept of creation of a new neutron source should be presented for consideration to the scientific community and governing bodies of the institute. If the our idea of concept, if our model of the concept will be improved and supported, the work of the creation of a highly competitive world-class neutron source for the period until 2037 may become a top priority project within the framework of the GNR long-term strategic development plan. From our point of view, the concept of a new source should be contained the following key points. Determination of the role and place of new source at GNR among other available and future neutron sources in the world. Development of a highly competitive program of advanced physics research. Determination of physical model basic neutron physical characteristics which would be attractive for users and ensure the leading position of the multipurpose neutron source for solution of a wide range of scientific research. Comprehensive maintenance of safe, efficiency, and reliable operation during the entire service life for at least 30 years. Our experience of IBR2 modernization has showed that the time period from the formulation of the concept of a modernized source to the beginning of its regular operation takes a minimum of 10 years. In the case of development of a new source, with account of the time for its construction, it takes no less than 15 years or even more. Taking this into consideration, it should be stated that it's necessary to prepare basic theoretical substantiation of a new source at our institute and formulate its main neutron physical, technological, and user characteristics no less than by 2021. Our key question, what is the next neutron source could be? Scientific substantiation of need of creation of new neutron source of the fourth generation at our institute has been given in the report of Professor Viktor Aksyonov at the last session of the PAC in January of this year. The following parameters of new neutron source shown on the next slide are necessary for the solution of modern and unresolved tasks. As you know, the main parameter among user demands for the neutron facility is neutron flux density. If we will summarize different demands from different fields of modern physics, we can say that peak flux density should be no less than 10 to the 16, and mean flux density should be no less than 10 to the 14 neutron per square centimeter per second. Within the program of the concept of a new source, development in Frank laboratory calculations of various models have been executed. In particular, extreme parameters of a source of the basis of fission reaction, proton accelerator plus multiplying target are received. Results of these calculations will be shown on the next slide. As for characteristics of accelerator, we see that energy of protons in this case should be in the range of 0.6 up to 1 GeV, with mean proton current 0.1 milliampere, with proton duration pulse in a range from 10 up to 100 microseconds, with pulse frequency of protons 10 Hz or in a case so-called Neptunium booster mode, 30 Hz. As for target, we plan to analyze more detail target with use of different nuclear materials such as plutonium or Neptunium. Also, so-called cascade composition will be analyzed. Cascade composition is such model where we analyzed some layers of different nuclear materials in a target. And also, we very carefully plan to study target with reactivity modulation, so-called booster, super booster mode. In all these cases, power at a target will be no less than 10 megawatt. Professor Nagy already shown you this diagram, but I should say that at this slide you see flux density peak and brightness of the future comparison of these parameters of future neutron facility at our institute with the same parameters at steady state reactor peak in Gatchina and Europe's spallation source in Sweden. As you see, calculations show us that we can reach essential no less than 10 times advantage for these parameters in comparison with these facilities. About our plan of work. During the period up to 2020, preparation of the concept of new neutron source contains next point. Study of models of past sources with different principles of neutron generation, as I said before, cascade and booster and super booster subcritical systems. Selection of optimal physical model of the source, taking into account its technical feasibility and provision of nuclear and radiation safety. For the same period, we also execute study of accelerator and calculations of target variance, study of variance of moderators and biological shielding, development of a concept of a complex of experimental station for physical research, development of a basic layout and the choice of a site of placement of the facility. And finally, to the end of this period, we plan to estimate preliminary cost of the future facility. On the next stage, on the period up to 2023, preparation of initial design data for requirement specification and development of requirement specifications for a building accelerator, target complex, control and safety system, technological and experimental equipment. On the next stage, up to 2027, development of design project for all main parts of the future facility, which I mentioned before. On the period from 24 up to 32, we must realize design and construction of a new building for the neutron source. Also, at the same period, we must product all nuclear materials and other products we need for future facility manufacturing of a target complex, accelerator, different facility equipment. On the period from 32 up to 36, we plan to realize, perform assembling of the facility equipment in a new building. And stage from 36 up to 37, we plan realize to perform physical and power start of the facility. And at final stage, from the period from 37 up to 42, we must license regular operation of future facility and start full operations with meaningful user program at the facility. Some words about financing of our work in the nearest period. I should say that we plan to finance this work during period 1918-19 in the frame of IBR2C and plan to allot approximately 200,000 dollars per year for this period. In view of the necessity of organizing and conducting a significant amount of scientific and technical work connected with systematic development of a new neutron source at GNR, Professor Aksionov has been appointed as a leader of Frank Laboratory Working Groups and me as deputy leader. For development of specific tasks, such as preparation of requirements and proposals of physicists for characteristics of new neutron source, formation of the scientific program, calculation of the accelerator, a target complex, moderators, the basic layout of future facility, and the choice of a site of placement of it, are formed the working groups already. Authoritative experts are involved in contractual relations with a specialized external organization will be established. And our proposal for the PAC recommendation. Within the program of strategic development of the Institute, development of the concept of a new neutron source at GNR is an urgent task. In this regard, the PAC approves the submitted plan of works on its stage-by-stage realization and recommends to GNR Directorate to inform scientific community on progress in implementation of the plan regularly. Thank you for the attention.
Thank you very much for this comprehensive presentation, Professor Vinogradov. The floor is now open only for questions, please.
The question concerning the strategy of scientific aims. For example, when we start Tunica, before was very serious theoretical works, and why paper was done in order to know what we have from new facility. I don't see in your presentation such work.
As for financing, as I said, only for 2 years period, we plan to support finance our work on for development only for in concept. In the end of this period, we will try to estimate the cost of future facility. It's very tricky things. I think it will be no rather expensive facility. I don't know exactly, and I can't say exactly at the moment about this cost. No.
Yes, please.
Let me answer for the second part of the question concerning the scientific ground for construction of the new search. First, we will hear now the next report by Norbert Kucherka. He will tell namely about that. That's first. Second, we are preparing the scientific ground. In our lab is already, we formed, not in our lab, it's international groups. We already formed two international groups on nuclear physics and condensed matter physics. And we are working all together to prepare something like white book for NICA or something like this. So we do not forget about it.
Thank you, Professor Shvetsov. Alexei.
My point is that from the using of such kind of neutron sources, the difference is essential between 10 microseconds and 100 microseconds of the duration of the pulse and frequency of 10 or 30 Hertz.
Yeah.
It's a quite different type of experiments could be realized. Therefore, are you considering the opportunity to realize two targets like at ISIS, for example, for long pulse, short repetition rate, and vice versa, to be optimized for different type of tasks?
Surely. This composition also will be analyzed, using these different targets,
This question?
Thank you very much. Further questions? May I put a question by myself? At one of your early slides, you have shown that maybe this question is, by the way, a bit premature because it will be touched by Professor Kucherka, but you have shown the user interest, the expected user interest, you have shown four blocks. And I don't really remember, it was life sciences, new physics, medical application, something like that. Soft condensed matter, but what I was missing, it was the hard condensed matter. What was the reason?
Hard what?
The hard condensed matter. It was skipped. So what was the reason for that?
Может быть, Валер, ты ответишь, почему там твердый нет физики?
Let me help to please you have to consider that Alexander Vinogradov is a chief engineer of our laboratory and former chief engineer of the reactor. He is not a condensed matter physicist. Scientific questions will be touched by Norbert Kucherka, and maybe we can come back to the discussion and your question after Norbert's talk. Sorry.
Okay, then let me thank once again for this presentation. Reporter Norbert.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, dear members of PAC, colleagues. In today's my presentation, I would like to present results of ongoing discussions in our lab. on regarding the future, regarding the parameters of future neutron source, and especially from the point of view of users and experts performing experiments on the instruments around such source. As has been mentioned already, there has been created actually two groups. I'll be representing the results of a group focused on the condensed matter physics. The group was created by the order of director of laboratory and includes experts and specialists from our laboratory that has experiences with different kinds of neutron scattering and diffraction experiments and instruments, and also including a few external experts having appropriate expertise too. We are in the discussion and we are foreseeing expanding this group for more external members. Objective of our discussions are development of requirements as desired by the users, by the experts using these instruments, with the purpose in the future eventually propose the final set of parameters that will be needed from the new source. Well, this was actually part of the questions from the previous part, so let me ensure you that the starting point of our discussions was really the scientific program. We are trying to come up with the parameters with regards or relating them to the experiments and then science that is being done currently and that can be foreseen to be interested in 20, 30 years. In our laboratory at the moment, the biggest direction is the condensed matter research, of course, and I will be focused mostly on that. But together with that, there is also a well-developed program for the nuclear research and technical support of the instruments and experiments. In terms of the condensed matter research, it can be split in couple subgroups with the division as shown here. There was a question about the hard condensed matter. Well, it's I guess it's in our division it's part of the physics and material science. In addition to that, I mean there are other subgroups. And what's probably more important, this kind of splitting, this kind of interest in condensed matter in different fields of different directions of condensed matter, is very typical for neutron scattering facilities. And for example, if we compare it to the similar graph received from ILL in Grenoble, which is another neutron scattering laboratory, the interest, the kind of experiments performed there are very similar. So there is no surprises, and the neutrons do have sort of very specific role, and they have good applications in the science. From the point of view of neutrons, neutron users, of course, we have to understand also the landscape and the number of people that are available, that are interested or will be interested in the facility that we are thinking about. It is well known estimated that European user community of neutron users consists of about 6,000 people. In our laboratory at the moment, we get only a fraction of them, of course. What's more important is that the trend over the last couple of years is increasing, both in the number of users coming to our facility for the experiments and in the number of proposals in the number of experiments performed at our facility. I don't think there is a reason to think that the trend will change, and so we can foresee that this increasing trend for the future as well. On the other hand, this is the slide also from the presentation of Viktor Lazarevich Aksenov from January's back, where he showed not only the past, but also the possible scenario for the future. And according to different prognoses, pretty much all of them come to the conclusions that the availability of the neutrons, number of neutron instrument days, will go down in the future. So despite the fact that the number of users and number of experiments seem to be increasing, the number of available neutrons will be decreasing. And so actually the demand for the neutrons will be increasing quite substantially. And that's kind of a reasoning for us trying to be with the trends, with the modern trends, and trying to find our position there. I'm not going to go into details, of course. This is very very well known properties of the neutrons that make them specific, that make them particle or the method of the investigation that make advantage of them. Especially when compared to the X-rays and synchrotron radiation, for example, the neutrons penetrate much deeper. They are sensitive to magnetism. They are sensitive to light elements and isotope exchange. Of course, when you're comparing neutron sources to X-ray sources, there is one big disadvantage, and that's low brilliance. So, thanks to the very high brilliance of modern synchrotron sources or even X-FEL sources, some of the even magnetic measurements and some of the fields that are usually measured by neutrons can be to some extent measured by X-rays. Nevertheless, because of the low brilliance, the neutrons are not the method of the first choice. Usually, even in our neutron community, we have to face the fact that neutrons are seen like some exotic particle, some exotic method. And most of the people nowadays first go to X-rays, and they can perform high-resolution experiments there. They can obtain very precise structures. For example, here is the example for determining the high-resolution function of protein, which can be done on the atomistic level, really, the huge molecule being studied by X-rays. On the other hand, there is one thing that X-rays really cannot do. Well, they get the position of, for example, in this case, water molecule, but they don't know where in that water molecule is actual hydrogen versus oxygen, which are responsible for the hydrogen bonding, and hydrogen bonds are actually the most important interaction in the life sciences, because it's responsible for the tertial structure, it's responsible for the actual function of these molecules. And so all they can do, they can predict where the hydrogen bonds can be, but the measurement can be done only with the neutrons. And as seen here, the actual picture looks quite different from the estimates of X-rays. So the two methods definitely have their advantages. X-rays can get the high resolution structures, but neutrons have their important role there to play to give the complete picture. And so one of the results of our discussions was, of course, finding the niche of neutrons. And we came to the conclusion that there are basically four four basic directions in which neutrons do play a prime role and with the high probability will play the huge role in future. I'm not going to go into the details of these examples that were actually shown on the PAC meetings, on the previous PAC meetings and different places, but so it's very likely neutron radiography that can take advantage of neutrons. Definitely inelastic neutron scattering, magnetic structures will be always studied by neutrons. And again, the isotopic substitution, especially the materials rich on hydrogen, which are mostly the biological or biologically related materials. Now, another result of our discussions was then looking at the actual parameters that will be determining, that will be important for the future source, and that are needed by the specialist doing the experiment. Well, first of them is, of course, it's no brainer. It's a flux, as was mentioned already in the previous presentation. From the point of view of people doing experiments at the at the instruments, it's of course rather the flux at the sample than the flux at, coming from the source, which is sort of the combination of the property of the source and the instrument. Nevertheless, so these are some kind of values that we have estimated will be important. And actually, for example, with regards to the flux at the sample, the number 10 to the 8th is not it can be achieved as we have examples from today. So when we look, for example, when we look at the high intensity instruments at our current reactor at the IBR2, some of the instruments can achieve fluxes up to 10 to the 7th, and 10 to the 8th and even 10 to the 9th are achieved at instruments around the world. So these are kind of realistic. I just wanted to demonstrate that these are realistic numbers. Another parameter that, again, has been already mentioned, that gave us the sort of the biggest problems to find the consensus, that's the width of the pulse, right? So for most of the instruments that we have at the moment, employing diffraction, scattering, reflectometry, the preferable width of the pulse was in the order of hundreds of microseconds. Nevertheless, there was a very strong voice from the inelastic scattering community of course, because of the resolution of the experiments, require much shorter pulses. And so there is no way to join these two. These two numbers are simply way too different. And so we came sort of to the conclusion, as was pointed out in a previous discussion, to think about the source that will have that will provide two beamlines two target stations will be used for the long or the longer pulse and the one for the short one. Just briefly, and we have to, when we're really building the new source and also, again, thinking about doing new science and building new instruments, we cannot forget about other determining factors for the efficiency of these instruments, and that's, of course, the neutron optics. So, basically, this says that the new instruments will have to be optimized together with the source, or the source will have to be optimized together with the instruments, and simply these two objects are not separate. They will have to be seen as the part of the same complex. And so in a summary, I'll just summarize the results of our discussions. We believe that the neutrons will play, even in the future, will play the determining role in studies of magnetic materials and those rich in hydrogen. It wasn't actually said anywhere here, but from the geographical and historical point of view, it very much makes sense to discuss the pulse source at the genera as opposed to the continuous source. As I said in the previous slides, it will be very helpful and very helpful to come up with the solution that will allow us to have both narrow and the longer pulse as they are required by the user community. And of course the optimization again has to be done together, source and instrument, in a complex matter of this these two parts. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Professor Kucherka. So right now, both presentations, both of Professor Vinogradov and of Professor Kucherka, are open both for questions and for discussion. I think we have now ample time, but it's really an important issue. I think now we have to go in some details. Yeah, Toby Perez.
Okay. Thank you, Robert. That's actually a very interesting talk. I guess I've got a number of comments rather than questions. The first comment is I'm very pleased that you have said that what's important is the flux at the sample. I think there's, particularly in previous packs, there's been a sort of a hang-up on what is the flux at the source. That just doesn't matter in the slightest. And one of the lessons that we've learned from, for instance, the ISIS second target station, the second target station design at the SNS, and even the innovative compact source designs from Jülich, for example, is that flux on the source isn't the important thing, it's flux at the sample. One thing which you skipped over, however, which I think is really important to note, is the question of backgrounds. You had a background level which was 5 to 10%. I'm not quite sure what that referred to, but one thing which is absolutely essential is to keep the backgrounds under control, which is why I'm very, very worried by the idea of booster targets. At ISIS, we had a uranium target for the first 3 or 4 years of operation. We got rid of that because of the delayed neutron background. We halved our flux in preference to having the massively reduced background. And if you look at the design of instruments around the world now, effort is going into reducing backgrounds, having curved guide designs, having T0 choppers to block the beam when the pulse is there, covering every last component inside the spectrometers with neutron-absorbing materials. Backgrounds are absolutely essential to get to minimize. And even more than I think you were saying, I think it's really important to appreciate the innovation on instrumentation. I was a little bit disturbed by what you said about the fluxes at the samples of sort of 10 to the 8 neutrons per square centimeter per second. This is comparable or a little bit better to what is being achieved currently. I think you should be really trying to push hard to gain 3 orders of magnitude over the sorts of instruments which are being designed at the moment. My colleague Robert Bewley at ISIS, for example, has got a design for a backscattering spectrometer, which will give approximately 2 orders of magnitude more than the comparable instrument at ISIS. And that's putting it on a 40 kilowatt source, the second target station at ISIS. Lastly, on the technical front, regarding the pulse width, I'm not quite sure how important that is because, of course, resolution is what matters. So a large pulse width for sands and a short pulse width for inelastic, well, that's partly a function of how far are the instruments from the source. It's not necessarily directly leading into the necessity for a second target state, for two target stations. And there's one last point I want to make, which is a non-technical one, which has not been addressed, but I think it is perhaps indirectly going to be addressed later on today, is the absolute necessity for building up internal expertise on instrumentation, not just the sources, because it's the scientific in-house scientific expertise, in-house instrumentation expertise, which is going to be the resource which you will be relying upon for what is an extremely difficult process of bringing a facility online with an acceptable number of high world-class instruments, as I'm sure Richard will, and I see also sitting on the Scientific Advisory Committee for the European Spallation Source. The thing that scares me is just the process and the staff to build up the instruments. So I'm sorry that's a large number of comments, but I think it's really important to consider the instrumentation and the expertise side of things.
Thank you very much. All I can say is that these are really the important points. I was trying to convey some of them or many of them to you, and thank you very much for pinpointing the ones that are really important, and I can assure you that they are part of our discussions and that we will look at these parameters and all of these comments as we go ahead, as we go along the whole project. You are absolutely right. There's nothing more to add.
Maybe I can add one phrase. Sorry, I can add one phrase to the answer to Professor Perrin's question. From point of view of organization. You have seen already we have established two working groups for two directions. Next step will be to establish also the working groups for instruments, not for every instrument, of course, but for directions, for diffractometers, for small angle scattering. We will establish also working groups, and we will work in contact, and we will ask you and all our colleagues about advice and cooperation with us.
Thank you, Professor Schwitzow. Professor Fuss.
I have a more general comment. I think all the points which Toby gave on details of the instruments are perfectly right. But I was a bit afraid after your talk that you preached the convinced. So your talk was given to people who know that neutrons are good and we need them. But there was not a single argument which was not used about 60 years ago when the ILL was planned. All these arguments were already on the table before we built ILL. And how will you convince people in the Soviet Union to give you $1 billion or something like that to build an instrument where you do not have one argument which is new? Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for the comment and the question. That is a $1 million question. This kind of argument has to be done the way of a scientific program and the science that will be done there.
There's nothing new in science.
But we are discussing building the instrument for the science, so we have to argue by the results, future results in the science that we will receive, which can be less or more concrete, of course, since we are talking about the future of 30 years.
Yes, Professor Schwitzow.
Sorry, it seems to me we already entered some kind of a discussion, so I would like to add. So concerning the new science, we cannot discover the new science without new level of intensity of our neutron sources. It's one of the goals. We have to come.
This argument is also 50 years old.
Okay, 50 years old, but look, people in Europe, there is a paper published from the last year conference by Anderson and Caroline, proposal of the new European neutron source after the ESS. They have demonstrated that since Second World War, the period of construction of large facilities increased every year by 1 year from end of Second World War. And for future facilities, this period of construction will come to half a century, 40, 50 years. We cannot predict and imagine. So all we have to stop now and to say that all the science is studied and learned. It seems to me it's not the case.
I'm not against the project, but what I urge you is to think about arguments which are necessary to convince people to give you money. And I didn't see a single argument yet. That is my point. Yeah? That is my point. Really to think a bit more about what is new and can be done with neutrons which hasn't been done yet. But all the arguments, light elements and magnetic, yeah? Nobody will hear that again. We heard that 100 million times. There should be really new arguments. What you can you solve with a new neutron source with specific, and then we discuss specific requirements of the source, of the instruments. We need to solve that unique question.
Hi, so just to reiterate some of the points already, I think don't underestimate the amount of time it takes to get people on board and to make that argument. It is very complicated to argue why and to actually get the justification for it. And you know, whether we at ESS have got that right is another question, but it takes a very long time. The other thing is just to emphasize the point about designing for performance. So it's important to design basically the instrumentation into the plan at the beginning. You know, really a start to finish of the process, because it might be that the performance is actually better done with a less intense source, depending upon how you define the performance. And that's really important. And I think there, don't underestimate the amount you can improve the background by. I think in the state of the design process for us, we can definitely see places where we can push things by orders of magnitude better than before. But this takes a huge amount of time to put through. And of course, some of the improvements are not possible because of decisions made in the design process before. So again, thinking about what the real instrument suite is you want, what you really want to get out of there, is really important to do. And on all of this, the schedule looks like it's basically from now until build, it's basically full. I think it's important to anticipate in there that there's a lot of people that need convincing along the way, and that will need a lot of time in itself to get done.
Thank you very much for the comment.
Thank you. Do you have comments on that?
No, sorry. Same as in the case of Professor Peringo, I can say that, thank you very much for reiterating these points.
Okay. Pavel, please.
Yeah. I would like to stress some things which was said by Professor Peringo also and Professor Fuse. The point is that of course the density of flux is very important question. Intensity is very important. But not only intensity, because if you look on the table which was presented by Professor Kucherka, it was expected the flux at the sample position about 10 to the 8th power. But neutrons per second per square centimeter. I have said that ILL at the best triple axis spectrometers has something like this or even more, for example, on I8. But monochromatic neutrons, so it's also important. And so this is not the very high number. But not only flux is important, I think the background is very important point, because just from the front line of physics, we typically need some very high pressure, very low temperatures, maybe or very high, and something like high magnetic fields. All these things are better connected with real possibilities to realize when sample is small. Small sample means that not only flux, but only even background should be very low. And the project should be analyzed from this point also. Low background is an advantage of ICES, for example, from SNS, for example. And here also this point should be somehow analyzed and considered from different points of view.
Professor Ritkes.
I want to ask the Directorate of Frank Laboratory a very simple question. As you know, during the next 3 years, our budget will be flat. Simultaneously, we must to realize NICA project. We must realize GVD Baikal detector project, start super heavy element factory, and you have own scientific big program. You are ready to cut off some project of your laboratory in order to contribute to start of some work.
For the scientific tasks which are within accepted, adopted 7 years plan, we will find such resources within the laboratory budgets. So on the stage of pre-design works, we are ready to contribute, and we are already contributing. But for the project stage and construction stage, of course, it should be supported by all the member countries of the institute, and of course, as in case of NICA project, we will have to ask support, external support from Russian government.
Further comments or questions? Yeah, Professor Perry.
It's just a question of how funding operates within GINR, I guess, because you know, major projects which require an investment of research to actually get the projects together. Is there sort of like a central source of money for doing that? So, I mean, I see what your question is, which is that if you're spending $200,000 or euros a year on this project, that's $200,000 for an instrument upgrade that doesn't get performed. But is there a sort of a seeding fund to enable long-term projects like this to be resource, because it can't be done on the cheap, such a research project, because it is a research project putting such a proposal together, and it will be looking for $1 billion, and it's got to do the enormous amount of work which Professor Vuss was saying, you've sort of starting from, you know, what are the societal impacts that this has got to address. For the Russian, for the Russian economy, it's got to put forward the arguments, you know, because exactly those arguments are the ones you would say for an XFEL. You can do all this amazing stuff. So, I mean, it's an enormous amount of work. So I think that it shouldn't be a question of degrading the amount of investment in the IBR2 reactor, for example, because it's the IBR2 reactor, the staff who are working on that, who are going to be the people who will be working in the future on this new source. And so it is actually very, very important to make sure that IBR2 itself is actually insulated from being depressed by such work preparing this case.
Thank you for this really very important point. Further questions or comments? Yes, Boris, please.
Yeah, well, may I make my comment? First of all, I saw in the presentation by Dr. Vinogradov that the Frank Laboratory suggests to PAC to endorse some roadmap or plan for development of the concept of the new neutron facility in GNR. It's this activity in general is very important for strategic development of the whole institute of Joint Institute of Nuclear Research, and it is a very wise recommendation by PAC from last PAC that recommends the proposal for the development of a new neutron facility be submitted to the Committee of Long-Term Strategic Planning. That means all these activities are in the context of the strategic development of the whole institute. In this respect, I would like to stress that the suggested proposal for the PAC today has several milestones. And usually those milestones are ended by generation of some paper. First step is the white paper, where all the arguments you mentioned should be brought on the desk, and the scientific community, the users community, the politicians should be convinced that this new generation of neutron stars is absolutely necessary, in particular here on this site. And that means that this white paper has to contain careful analysis of the scientific program being performed by international renowned experts in all the fields which comprises the neutron research. And a set of independent experts in fundamental physics, solid-state biology should be invited to prepare this convincing argument, to bring them in the white paper. With this, how to say, first step, one cannot move further, because all of us and GNR should understand whether we will confront this situation that 2032, GNR has no more the neutron source of the large scale, or we continue to have on the site a new generation of the neutron source, and how it should look like should be analyzed in this white paper. In the next step, the conceptual design report should be prepared, then technical baseline report, and so on and so far. But without every first step, white paper by the end of 2021, nothing will happen. In parallel, of course, all the funding estimations should be done, because at the moment people say that it will cost $1 billion, $1.5 billion, and so on. Solid analysis of what will could be done, how much it costs, what is the new developments of accelerator technology for this neutron source, superconducting technologies. It should be also analyzed, and the reliable estimation should be done. This is, in my view, very important activities. Of course, it's a research project, and it should not, ruin the budget of the current budget of the laboratory, but it is a very important activities towards the strategic development of the future GNR in general. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Boris. Professor Schweitzer.
I would like to thank Professor Fuse and Professor Shurkov. And I can tell that, of course, we will follow these recommendations. And I also agree with you that without such a substantiation of the project, we cannot enter even to the design stage. So we will work. It seems to me that we work in parallel. So these pre-design studies, which are not require much money, it's just simulations and maybe some small contracts with the with the specialized companies and institutions, and in parallel preparation of these arguments which can prove scientific and financial and political community in necessity of source construction. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think these two last comments or contributions can be taken more or less as a summary at this stage of this discussion, unless you have some urgent further proposal. We will, of course, come back to this in the general discussion. I think the main point is we are clearly at the beginning of at least 3 years process, a 3 years strategic process that should definitely include something like this white paper, a much more detailed science case, as we have seen right now, and also a technical design report afterwards. And frankly speaking, we have already seen many, many cases all over the world that after presenting a white paper and all this stuff, it has not been realized. Of course, we all keep finger crossed that this project will be successful, and we would like to see the next generation neutron source at GINR, but at this stage, there is no guarantee. We have to proceed and take all these steps. And I think that's more or less the stage where we now may close our discussion, unless you have some further urgent remarks. Should this not be the case, then thank you very much both to the presenters and to the PAC members for their active participation. And now we'll have a coffee break and we'll reconvene in 20 minutes' time. Thank you very much.